Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21-0 in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that Porzingis!
Clank.
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big basketball show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Welcome back to the basketball beat. We have a lot of basketball stuff to bring you tonight on our latest NBA report, so stay with us for that. And also stay with us for Super Bowl week next week, which will feature a multitude of different scenarios, including another NBA report. We're going to do an NBA report next week, too, because we could have some trades coming down the pipeline that could influence the league, or we may get nothing. But a lot of rumblings about trades these last 2 weeks, and we got even more reports today, so... So we're not leaving behind basketball next week, not at all. But we will do some Super Bowl-related shows. We've got our prop bet show coming up. It should be good to have Kevin on the Cape back for that with Tom in Northern Virginia and many things of that caliber. So I'll just quickly say that the winners of your respective conferences in the NFL, the New England Patriots on the AFC side, in a very tough-fought game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars are right there for that game, but they didn't have enough. And in the NFC game, a complete beatdown by the Eagles and Nick Foles with a great, probably the best performance of the playoffs that he's... I mean, it's the best playoff of the performance. Ugh, what did I just say? Nick Foles with the best playoff performance of his career to date. It was really good. So kudos to both teams. That's your Super Bowl matchup. We'll get into more detail next week. But back to basketball... I've been watching basketball all night. I've been watching college basketball. I've been watching pro basketball. LeBron James just got his 30,000th point at the end of the first quarter. And major kudos to LeBron James. But the manner in which he ushered it in, a little annoying. We'll get into that later in the show. But let's get to it. LeBron at the very center of attention for a lot of reasons, but right now the Cavs have looked as bad as you've ever seen them. They lost 10 of the last 14. They had a closed door meeting on Monday. Definitely some serious turmoil in the city by the lake, or what do they call it, the mistake by the lake. Cleveland just having a very, very tough year. There's also turmoil in Washington, which isn't really talked about as much, but John Wall's really starting to rub teammates the wrong way, we believe. And in San Antonio, some tensions brewing between Kawhi Leonard, who has not recovered from his injury, and a little lack of trust between he and the Spurs coaches and medical staff, and there's a lot behind that too. So some conflict. You know, we mentioned conflict last week with the fights. This time you got conflict behind the scenes, but all the while you've got a very tight playoff race. You have a very tight playoff race in the West. And the East. Let's jump it. The NBA report, January 23rd. Well, we mentioned it. Kawhi Leonard is now out indefinitely. And the Spurs are unlikely to play him the rest of the season. Further news, Ian Begley of ESPN reports the Hornets have placed Kemba Walker on the trading block. He is making $12 million a season. We'll cover that in our trades part of the podcast tonight. And the big news from Milwaukee. Yesterday, the Bucks coach, Jason Kidd, was fired by the Bucks. And he was 139-152 in 4 seasons. The Bucks are currently 8th in the East as of Monday when he was summarily dismissed. And apparently... Giannis Antetokounmpo found out before he did. That was ridiculous. That's crazy. And in other news, we mentioned the milestone from LeBron James. Another milestone by the Pelicans' DeMarcus Cousins last night, a dominant performance in a double overtime win against the Bulls. And what's really interesting is that the Pelicans were down 17 points in that game. They came all the way back, forced the overtime, then had another overtime. And with all that on the with all that wrapped up, Cousins ended up with 44 points, 24 rebounds, and 10 assists. He is only the fifth member of the 40, 20, and 10 club, and he's the first to reach that 40, 20, and 10 club since 1972. Your other members, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar Robertson, and Elgin Baylor. So there it is, how we start with a lot going on in the NBA. Just a ton of stuff all over the league. The Lakers play the Celtics later tonight at Staples Center. And we have the Spurs hosting the Cavs. That game is in progress on TNT as we record this podcast on a Tuesday night. So let's get in our co-host. And he is Chris in Georgia. Chris, good to have you back. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Man, where do we start? So much going on here. I definitely want to spend some time on the Bucks and a lot of other things. The Cavs definitely will be a big part of this show tonight. But let's start with that double overtime game from last night. I mean, I imagine you saw it. You were giving me some updates on it. So it looked like a really exciting game. I saw the highlights on SportsCenter later that evening, and it really was something. When you saw the Pelicans go down 17 to Chicago, did you see that comeback coming? I mean, what were your thoughts watching that game?
You know, I blew it. I assumed that Chicago had that wrapped up because it was pretty late in the fourth quarter, I think, when they had that big lead and New Orleans went on a run. And then you kind of tipped me off and you said, oh, check this out. I think the Pelicans are back in it. So I flipped over that game and I saw like a good part of the fourth quarter and I saw both overtimes. And it was really exciting because one, you had a lot of, well, you have those two big guys on New Orleans who are great, obviously, and are established stars. And then Lauri Markkanen on Chicago is really a lot of fun to watch. He had several huge blocks in that game. He's got really good range for a big guy. He made some big shots. But the crazy thing was that Anthony Davis fouled out early in overtime. And at that point, I think he had 39 points, something like that. He had a lot of points. Like you said, and like you pointed out in the intro, that really the story of the game was Boogie Cousins with the 40-20-10 club. Interesting that list. I mean, Boogie and Oscar Robertson are the only two players who never played for the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken. So it's quite that's sort of an interesting little bit of trivia. I did not know that was such a small group. And Boogie, I mentioned this to you yesterday, Boogie had four steals in that game too. So just a pretty good all-around game. And he was playing great D. I mean, they had him guarding, some guards at some points. And he's just, for a big guy, he's so quick. But very exciting game, a lot of back and forth. Chicago had a chance to actually win it in the first overtime. Markkanen missed a free throw that would have put him up by one with 10 seconds left. And of course, New Orleans didn't score in that the next possession. But it was very exciting. And I'm a big Boogie fan, as you know, so I enjoyed watching that. And then at the end, as I pointed out to you, Dave, in lieu of a Gatorade bath, Rajon Rondo threw a glass of ice on Boogie during the post-game interview. So there was a lot to watch, but it was very exciting. It was good. It was good night of basketball.
Yeah, that definitely was. And as part of that, we've been tracking the road to the bottom four, the lottery race. And I tell you, we had a pretty good one last night with the Kings at the who were they at last night? I think they were at Charlotte, I think, And they cut it.
You're right.
And they really weren't a threat to win the game in the fourth quarter, but they did keep it closer than I think some people expected. Tonight we got a couple of good ones, and the principal among them, the Kings and the Magic, which you said were the two worst teams in the NBA, and fittingly, it's a tight game, and we're down to the final two. So, any updates from that one?
Yeah, Kings have a four-point lead, 101-97. They're on a 7-0 run, and they have the ball right now. So there's about a minute even right now to go. So we'll see what happens here. But it actually has been an entertaining game. I've been flipping a lot like you have, as you know, with the college and all that. Ooh, they just missed. So there's 47 seconds. Alfred Payton is bringing the ball up the court for the Magic. And we'll see what happens here. But yeah, this is the ultimate tankathon special, because I think, as I look at the standings, I got to think they're the worst two teams. I mean, for the longest time, I thought Atlanta was, but I don't know. And Atlanta and Orlando are tied in the standings, but I just, in a big spot, I feel like I could see Atlanta winning more games than Orlando. But we'll see. I mean, I think the Kings might be the worst team in basketball right now.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, you know, they get close, but they can't win any of these games, and it's true. They certainly are lacking in a lot of areas. You know, you spoke of the Hawks. I saw that they were beating the Utah Jazz the entire night, and it looks like they did win. They won 104-90 in that game, and so it's almost kind of bad in a way, because now they might be playing themselves out of a spot, but. Do you think the Hawks have started to pick it up some?
I don't think so, but that's a perfect example. I mean, that's a home game, but the Jazz aren't that bad, you know? I mean, that's a nice little win for them. Jazz are clearly a better team than Atlanta, and, you know, to win that game. I actually didn't watch any of that, but that's a perfect example. I just think Budenholzer's, I think he's actually a pretty good coach. excuse me. And then, all right, just to update you, it's still 101-97 with about 38 seconds left. I don't think they're in any danger of you know, they're going to get a good pick. They'll be in the top five for sure, probably top three. This is the Hawks I'm talking about. Last night was interesting because there were so many upsets. You know, Chicago obviously didn't pull through on that. But you also had Memphis beating Philly, and you also had the Mavericks winning. And so, and then of course, Charlotte beat Sacramento. But yeah, you had some nice little upsets last night.
You did, and there's another one brewing as we speak. At halftime, the Nets have a 12-point lead on the Thunder, 59-47, and this is a team that just continues to sneak up on people. It doesn't show in the record books, but they really have played everybody tough, and this is another good example. I mean, to do this on the road, it's pretty impressive. And another update for you. The Spurs are up 63-55 on the Cavs with the newly crowned 30,000-point member, LeBron James. So that's the latest as we do record the podcast. More updates to come as we continue the course of the show. The Nets, I mean, you know, you've been high on them for a while, and this is definitely a good show of their resolve. I don't know if they're going to hold on to this lead, but even being up at all against the Thunder is pretty good.
Definitely, yeah. Thunder, you know, that's they can pull this off. It's a nice little win. I mean, and they'll be 19-29 with this win. And I thought 30 games was like a pretty good mark for them if they could win 30 games. And now I'm thinking, wow, they should definitely get that. Not sure how many more than that. Maybe, you know, I don't think they'll get 35, but I think they'll match 30 wins.
Yeah, and you know, and all of this plays into draft ramifications for next year in a lot of ways. The Nets pick for next year, or this year, sorry, in the summer, will end up being the Celtics pick. So, or no, sorry. Whose pick is that? The Lakers pick.
It was the Lakers, or something. Yeah, so the Net pick did belong to the Celtics, and that was part of that Paul Pierce. It was the last pick in the Paul Pierce-Kevin Garnett trade. Mm-hmm. However, the Celtics traded it to Cleveland in part for Kyrie Irving. So it was Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, that pick, this guy Zizic, who's a center, and was there something else? I think that was it. So that, Cleveland owns the Nets pick, and I would say Danny Ainge did a good job trading that, you know, this year, because it'll still be in the lottery, obviously, but you know, you're talking about probably a pick in the teens, or maybe, you know, 11th, something like that, somewhere around there, 11th to 14, maybe, and so not such a hot pick when it all shakes out, but we'll see. But yeah, definitely keep an eye on the Nets, because they just got back their young guard who you know very well, Dave.
Yeah,
D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah,
and he hasn't played so great yet. I mean, it just seems a little rusty. You know, he's come back from the knee injury and hasn't shot the ball real well, which was something he was doing great early in the season. But you know, in his absence, we talked about Spencer Dinwiddie and Alan Crabb. And you know, all these guys stepping up, and you know, they've done a phenomenal job, especially when you consider a team, you know, that really hasn't had for a bad team not to have their own draft picks and be rebuilding. It's kind of impressive what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they've given away so many of their draft picks to other teams. It's like, it's really funny. Like they've managed to stay competitive and. Game to game, and so I'm really proud of them in a way, and they've got things to root for there too. So it should be interesting to see how that goes. So back to the playoff chases and everything else. Monday was a very, very big moment for the Milwaukee Bucks franchise, because a lot of speculation, some of it by you and me on this podcast, that Jason Kidd was pretty close to being dumped, and he did get dumped on Monday. And I think it speaks to an urgency to get a young roster to that next level. And I said it at the time, like, I didn't think that he was the kind of coach that could really do that. He was just a little bit too hard about the defense. And I just think that his style of coaching is just the kind of style. I mean, it gets people going, but I just think his game, his offensive style is too slow, too grindy. I mean, it doesn't work in this decade. It works in the 90s. It worked in maybe some of the 2000s, but it doesn't really work this decade, you know? So it's interesting, because I was listening to the Ringer podcast today, the Ringer NBA show, and the guys in there actually made an interesting comparison. They compared him to, Mark Jackson. Very, very similar idea, right? Because, like, they're both defensive guys. They're quote-unquote old school, and they really harp on guys, and they're good to start off a team with. But ultimately, if you want this team winning championships, you got to get a different guy, a guy that knows the offense better or knows the players better, gets the most out of the players. And I honestly don't think that was the case with Kidd, so that's just my thought on it. Were you surprised at the timing of the firing, and what was your overall impression of Kidd?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. I mean, I think it might have been last week or two shows ago where I said flat out, you know, they give him a chance through this year at least. You know, I said that they, you know, there has to be some disappointment, because you've got Antetokounmpo having an MVP type season, and you know, in the standings, they don't look so hot. But my assumption was they're going to let him play out the season, get Jabari Parker back, see what he has, and see what they can do, and build from there. And so, yeah, it was a big surprise to me. Couple things. One, and I didn't actually see this live, but excuse me, there was a game about a month ago against the Cavs, and it, someone else mentioned, I think it might have been on one of the Ringer podcasts, where they talked about in the game against the Cavs, the Bucks had a 3-point lead, and they were on the free throw line hitting this on the second shot. Kid advised, I believe it was Chris Middleton, to miss the second shot, a shot that would have put him up by four. And, you know, just a couple seconds left. And so Middleton just kind of bricked it, and LeBron got the rebound and threw a full court bomb, really. And it didn't go in, but it was still kind of a head scratcher because, you know, Middleton hits that four-point lead. It's game over with about a second left. I mean, you know, sure, Cleveland could have called a timeout and brought it in half court, but still, you know, you're not going to foul a guy taking a three-point shot. So it just was a really strange decision. And, I mean, the thing that stuck out to me was that, the fans were unhappy with him. There was, there was like a fire Jason Kidd hashtag on Twitter. Seems like the players weren't happy. I saw some, can't remember who, but I saw a few players had publicly rejoicing on Twitter after it was announced. So I mean, once you lose the locker room, it's kind of done. I mean, you can't, there's no coming back from that.
It's true.
But I was shocked. Were you surprised? You were.
I was
you
not
kind
surprised.
Of on top
I
of
honestly
it from...
wasn't that surprised. I mean, I was a little surprised that they were doing it maybe, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks earlier than I thought. But overall, no, not really, because I was anticipating at some point during this year it was going to happen. Because I think, as you brought this up in the beginning, like, how are the Bucks this mediocre? They've got some great players on that team. I mean, they got some good guy. They have some good talent on that team, and they're in the East. So it's like they should be winning more games than they are. And to your point about the free throws, usually you ask a guy to miss a free throw when you're behind. I've never heard of anybody try to do that when they're ahead. So that definitely gives you an idea of where Kidd was or isn't with basketball knowledge. I mean,
you got to check out those videos, Dave, because there's another one where they were ahead, and I think they're playing the Pistons, and that was also this year. They were up four with about under a minute left, very, very late in the game, up four. Pistons ball, they bring the ball in, and Kidd advised one of his players to foul the Detroit player with a four-point lead.
What is he doing?
They like, put him...
what is the point of this? Like...
It was very strange.
Yeah. Gosh, that is why I think a lot of Bucks fans, almost all of them, I don't even know a single one, or I have not seen a single one, go, oh man, why'd they do that? Like, they shouldn't have done that. And like, everybody pretty much was happy with that. It's just kind of rare when you see everybody on the same page with a dismissal of a coach. That definitely shows how polarizing. I mean, when you say polarizing, that implies that there are people on either side. No, this is a pure negative. Like, this is everybody was on one side with this, and so you're right. I think it was a pretty good consensus that it was time for him to go. Granted, I don't know if it was time for him to go now. Maybe the end of the season would have been just as appropriate, but it's such a good opportunity. You don't want to blow it. And the Warriors also rolled the dice, and they. And they let go of Mark Jackson, even though Jackson got them to the playoffs numerous times. You know, if you really think about the Warriors before Mark Jackson, they were garbage. I mean, they were doing nothing. The only time that they were any good was when they had that upset of the Mavericks in 2007. But other than that, they were just terrible. So it was a little bit of a risk to take a team that was going to the playoffs year after year and dump the coach. But ultimately, it was the right thing to do. So, I mean, I'm very curious to see who the next guy is going to be. And there's a big overture towards getting Jeff Van Gundy. Some were saying, you were saying Fizdale, David Fizdale. That's an interesting choice, too. Where could the Bucks go with this next coaching hire? It's not going to happen now. They're going to go with the interim for now. who is Joe Prunty. But who could they get as the next coach?
Well, that is interesting. I hadn't thought about that, that Warriors, and that's a great example, Dave, because, yeah, they were foundering. And, they, you know, to say they were garbage, I don't think it's fair because they did have Curry and they did have Klay Thompson on those teams with Mark Jackson coaching.
Well, no, not then. I meant, like, before that. Like, they were garbage. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, garbage in the sense that they really weren't playing up to their potential, which is, I think, is this case with this Bucks team. And you know, you think about those Warriors teams. You know, they had Monte Ellis, and there was actually a point in time when they were talking about trading either Monte Ellis or Steph Curry, which is kind of, I think they deny it now, but there were all kinds of rumors that they were going to trade one of those guys. And I believe Monte Ellis was in the Andrew Bogut trade, if I'm not mistaken, to Milwaukee. But anyways, I'm going off on a tangent. Who would they hire? Fizdale just came to mind because I really thought he got the short end of the stick with Memphis, and I don't think he's a bad coach. Trying to think who else is out there. I mean, did you have some initial thoughts on the Bucks coach?
Well, I'm just going by what other people have suggested so far. I mean, Van Gundy seems like a good fit, and we both would enjoy that because he gets him out of ESPN. Like, we're happy. We'd be happy with that. So... I guess it's about time. One that I thought of today, and all the props in the world to the Ringer NBA show, because they've been providing some really good angles on this story, but they were talking about David Blatt, the former coach of the Cleveland Cavs. And I didn't think he was a bad coach, I mean, especially, you know, he was a pretty good defensive coach, and I didn't think he was a totalitarian in the way that Jason Kidd was. So I thought that might be an interesting call. Some may argue it's a lateral move because you're going from a defensive guy to another defensive guy. I don't know, but I didn't think he was that bad. I just think that LeBron was just such a strong personality. Like, if someone told LeBron what to do, he didn't like it. So I kind of thought that was more along the lines of why he got dumped more than anything. Because remember, weren't the Cavs like in first place? Didn't they have like 60 wins when they got rid of him?
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's a good point, Dave. Good job out of you. Yeah, he was actually, Blatt was actually in the news recently. I can't remember if he was coaching in Europe or somewhere, but he brought up the fact after that that game where it was against Oklahoma City where the Cavs lost, I think it was 147 to 127.
Yes. Yes.
Blatt made some, comments about that, like 147 points. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at what he did. He really did get the short end of the stick there, and he did have him in first place. And, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, really, like, you know, they won one title in Cleveland with Lou. And many would argue that it was because of, you know, the Draymond Green suspension and that turned the tide in that series because, let's face it, the Warriors looked pretty unstoppable. That would be an interesting call. I don't know if Milwaukee would go that way, but that would be an interesting one. I suspect they'll just let Prunty finish the season and then make a decision in the off season. I don't see them in any rush,
right.
To bring in someone else, and you know, just for the sake of continuity. I think that would make the most sense.
I do agree with that, and I don't even know what Blatt's contract situation is overseas. I think he's, like you said, I think he is coaching in Europe, and I don't know how much longer his contract goes. Like, maybe it goes a couple years. So I don't know if that's a realistic possibility, but I'm assuming that he was off the contract by the end of this, whatever basketball season he's in, and he could come back to the States in time to coach next, you know, like, tip-off week, October of this year, this coming year. I think it would be an interesting call. Like, I don't think it necessarily would be my official endorsement, but it wouldn't be a bad play. And so I think that's a choice. I don't really know myself. I don't really know who they'd go with. You have to first look at who's available, right? You have to look at what would fit. Who would be good enough to manage offense and really design and manage minutes well? And there are a few guys that can do that. I mean, if Doc Rivers, for example, went and told the Clippers to take a hike at the end of the year, that would be actually an interesting candidate for that team. But I tend to think of him as more of a veterans coach anyway. I gotta bring this up on the Clipper game. That was ridiculous. That was crazy. I've never seen two coaches kicked out of the game within 20 seconds of each other. That was pretty awesome. But anyway, so that was just an idea. I don't know. Just definitely a lot of choices. Some young coaches out there. There may even be guys in college that could end up being good for the task, but there's a lot of potential. So we'll just see what Prenti can do the rest of the way. I imagine they'll get a pop out of it. Did they win the game against Phoenix the day of the firing? Because they played Phoenix that
night. Last night. Yeah, last night Phoenix was winning. I actually had that game on too. And Milwaukee came back. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything to lose by waiting. And, I mean, you mentioned a good scenario where, you know, there might be a good veteran coach like Doc. And it's funny, I was thinking the same thing as you're talking, like Doc, who might find himself out of a job, and the more possibilities, the more options you have, the better position you are. So I don't see any downside in waiting until after the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And now a team that can't wait till after the season is the Cavs. And I'll give you an update on the Spurs game tonight. The Cavs were neck and neck with the Spurs until the third quarter. The Spurs went on a 16-6 run, and since then they've been way up. The Spurs currently lead the Cavaliers. I think I see 76-64. They're in a TV timeout as we continue our podcast. So, bottom line, the Cavs are old, they're slow, and I think that there's a lot of finger pointing going on. They had a closed door meeting, I believe. Today's Tuesday, so it was on Monday, and what was really stupid about it is that they specifically outed Kevin Love. And I'm like, I don't think Kevin Love's the only guy that gave up 148 points against the Thunder. And remember, we were talking about how the Thunder's offense isn't even that good this year. How do you give up 148 points to that team? I mean, you have got to be completely in on yourself to do that, or just completely not give a shit in that game. I don't know what happened in that game. I didn't see the game. I don't even know if you saw. Did you see the game? I don't know if you saw that game, but
I didn't watch that just because it was such a blowout, and you know that's just not that much fun to me. But yeah, I actually had it wrong. You're right, 148, and I mean to get on Kevin Love in a game like where you're just getting destroyed like that, it's just, I don't know. There's got to be something else going on there because it doesn't make any sense.
No, absolutely.
They were resting players anyways. I mean, they kind of sat people down anyway. So, I don't know. I mean, if a guy says he's sick, I got to believe him, you know? Anyways, 76-64 Spurs lead. And just to update you, the Kings actually did win that on the road in Orlando.
So,
105-99, they won by six.
Dang.
And,
what do we call that, a bad loss or bad win?
Well,
it's a bad win for Sacramento.
Pretty much. Although you never know with the ping pong balls and what happens. But I got to check the standings. Cause I'm not even sure who. See, Orlando's 14-32 and Sacramento, I think they're actually tied now, 14-33 now.
Wow, man, this is gonna be a fight to the finish. gosh,
Dave, I'm one of 2,500 people who was at the Hawks Kings game.
2,500 people. Oh man.
So I've seen bad basketball at its worst, and the Hawks killed them that night too. I can't remember the score, but I mean it was a blowout.
Wow. Well, I'll give you credit for a couple things. I mean, first of all, toughing it out and going to that game. I mean, kudos to you. I hope the tickets were $1 because like I don't think it was worth more than that. But the other thing I thought was really keen on your part was when we were talking about the Spurs and messages earlier today, and I brought up the Spurs Kawhi Leonard situation, and you just didn't think it was that big a deal. And And I guess if you really think about it, it's not, because the Spurs already have a winning record. They're doing fine. Like, it's, they haven't had them all year. It's not like it just suddenly happened. And they've managed to work around it. And so you think about these two teams, the Cavs and the Spurs together, you know, Cavs are definitely in disarray. This is, that's a real thing. And, you know, there's a lot of tension in that organization. And you're asking, there's something going on behind the scenes. And I think many have connected the dots that I think there's just a general feeling that LeBron's just going to dump him like a rock at the end of the year. And there's not a lot of trust in that locker room right now. And why would you be a trusting guy? Like, why would there be any trust? Why would any teammate trust him right now? If he was willing to allow a trade of Kyrie Irving, and good for Irving, too, getting out of that situation. He knew what was going on. He's a smart guy. But if he was willing to let that go down, he forces the GM to, like, overpay for these old guys. And I guess you could argue that it worked because they won the championship a couple years ago, so maybe it was worth it. But what it brings about for this year is a mess. Like, they have nothing to trade. The best they can come up with is, who was it? Channing Frye and Iman Shumpert or George Hill. And that's embarrassing. Like, George Hill's a good player, but, I mean, that's not going to get you a championship. Like, that's the best they can do because they're way over the cap. Nobody's going to want some of these guys. They're all overpaid. So, like, I can't see where the trust is right now. They want to win, but they don't have the personnel to win. They're old. They're terrible defenders. And they keep getting hurt all the time, too. I mean, I think I just got word that Derrick Rose is out another 6 months. Oh. Pity. Unbelievable. But, so, anyway, we're a mess. I mean, so that you got the two teams. I asked earlier today, between the two teams, who do you have winning this game? You know, the Cavs or the Spurs? You said, oh, the Spurs. And I agree. I was like, yeah, but I mean, the Spurs have it pretty good compared to the Cavs right now. So, I don't even know what's next. But I definitely think that with the Cavs, it's just a general lack of trust. They don't trust LeBron. They feel like he's going to have the loyalty of a Mike 44 at the end of the year, and he's out. So why would they try to do things for him at this point? It kind of makes sense, like, from that point of view. I don't know. What's your thought?
Well, my initial thought, and you talk about trust, and there's no – I mean, it's easy to put it on LeBron. But there's no stabilizing force in the entire organization if you think about it right now. And it starts at the top with Danny Gilbert.
This is
who's
true.
Just a buffoon owner. And, you know, you talk about no trust. Well, you know, there's no reason to trust that guy. So everyone's got to be out on their own, including LeBron. And LeBron's had this, like, great deal where every year he's kind of – he signed this one-year contract with an option the next year, and he's just done this – kind of in perpetuity, so he could bowl whenever he wants. And it's given him incredible amount of leverage over the team because he can say, well, I mean, you know, people said that he was the reason that Flat got fired and he wanted to bring in his buddy Tyronn Lue. And, you know, there's probably some truth to that. But, you know, LeBron kind of runs the show over there because he could just say, look, I'm out of here after this year if I'm not happy. And this year it sounds like, you know, that's actually going to be the case. But yeah, I think it's easy to put it on LeBron's shoulders because he's such a focal point of the team. But you know, look, they fired David Blatt a couple of years ago. Griffin, the GM, wasn't renewed this year, so they're basically operating like with like a bunch of like a really young coach. I mean, granted, he won a title, but I'm still, you know, I still don't think that he's, you know, such a great coach. And it's an old team, Dave. I mean, you know, you look at their players just up and down that roster. Everyone's, you know, at least 26, 27. I mean, they don't have like, there's no one young guy on that team you look to and you're like, okay, yeah, they could definitely, I could see them building around him. So yeah, I agree. I think trust is a big deal there. And getting back to the Spurs thing, I'd love to hear what you think. It sounds like, you know, I mean, I guess Jalen Rose said on one of the ESPN shows, I can't remember which one, that Kawhi's actually asked to be traded. But I, you know, until it happens, I got to see. I mean, the rumor and the story was that he was unhappy with his medical official, you know, the medical treatment. And it has been kind of strange because he's been hurt almost this entire season after getting injured in the playoffs against Golden State last year. But I just don't, you know, I don't know what to believe. And until he's actually traded, I just can't believe that it's playing out this way. You know, and it's interesting, you know, you can doubt Popovich all you want. He'll, you know, if he does decide to trade Kawhi, he'll go, life goes on, you know? I mean, he's had that team running like a machine for like 20 years now. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, you can give the Spurs the benefit of a doubt of the doubt because they've managed this team really well over 15 years. No, they could lose more than 20 years now. I mean, you could even say 20, maybe even 25, because, you know, in the mid-90s, that's when Pop started coaching. So, yeah, you could almost go a good, like, 24 years, right? About that much, yeah. So, altogether, I think the Spurs ownership group and the front office and the coaching staff, all these guys have been pretty solid. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, these things will happen. Like, there will be disagreements in any successful franchise. Like, we were seeing that with the Patriots earlier in the month, and we've been seeing with every great team, really. Like, every great team ever has had disagreements and issues and rifts of varying degrees, and people have emerged and moved on if they are a good organization. I mean, the Celtics certainly were no stranger to that. The Lakers are clearly not a stranger to this kind of activity, and the Bulls weren't in the 90s with Michael Jordan. And so it's just part of life. Like, when you're a successful franchise, there's going to be, you know, there're going to be decisions to be made, and sometimes people may not agree completely with the method that's used to do anything, whether it comes to rehabbing an injury or offensive strength, whatever. I agree with you. I think we kind of need to wait. We need to let that one play out a little more, cuz we have seen good results from this franchise for so long. Like, give it time. Like, let's see. The Cavs, you can see it because look at the games. They're giving up. They're just laying down for some of these games. But the Spurs, you go to the court and they're winning games. Like, they're winning games. They're putting some of these games together. You have guys resting. You have guys not playing. They can win those games. They're doing pretty well. So there's a big difference between the two franchises.
Yeah, I looked it up, Dave. Popovich started coaching in 96 with the Spurs. So just about 20, 22 years now. Mm-hmm. So right on the money there. But I'll never forget when Popovich, I don't know if you remember this, but when Popovich basically named himself the coach of the Spurs. And I remember when that went down, I was like, who the heck is this guy? And why does he, you know, why does he think he can coach?
That's pretty funny.
Could you be a bigger fool? Right?
Well, who would have? I mean, who would have guessed that, though, right? I mean, back then, like, yeah. You can't even imagine a GM deciding to coach his own team, but he happened to be a genius, and so I give him all the credit in the world.
Amazing.
That's funny.
Absolutely amazing. And the Belichick comp is, like, pretty, I think, pretty spot on. I mean, it's just, you know, the names change, the faces change, but every year they're winning, you know? It's pretty impressive. Spurs have a 7-point lead. Ooh, Dwayne Wade just hit a nice shot, so it's down to 5. So this game's tightening up, Dave. It's about a minute and a half left in the third.
Yep, and you're about to see it. A LeBron dunk cut it to 3. So this game is not over, man. Yet, folks. This could get very interesting.
You're way ahead of me, Dave. I thought I'd have a faster feed on the East Coast, but apparently not.
I don't know how that stuff works. Like, and it's sometimes different from channel to channel too. Like, maybe in some channels you're ahead of me. Like, it's all over the place because you're not on a stream. Because if you were on a stream, you'd still barely be seeing the Dwayne Wade shot now. So So you're not on the stream for sure. You're watching on TV. So I don't know how it works either. Like, sometimes it just depends on what the game is and whatever. So either way, it's a tight game. And, hey, you're about to see that too. What happened here? Dwayne Wade woke up. Unbelievable. So it's 80. Did you see the shot yet?
Yeah, 86-81.
Yep. So I still think the Spurs are going to win the game, though. But because, you know, you mentioned it, the Cavs can have a good quarter, they can have a good half, but they can't have a good game because you can't expect these guys to have a complete game because they'll wear out and they get tired and you get the guy subbed out and it's just, it's inevitable. We'll see, though. We'll see. Maybe they really want this one and they will win, but I still think the Spurs will win the game at the end. All right, let's get to some All-Star announcements as we continue to track this game. This has been a good game, though, huh, Chris?
Absolutely, yeah. Good night of basketball so far. The biggest blowout is this net game. They're up by 15.
Dang, that really is impressive. Seriously, that's it's pretty good. I mean, like, if you talk about, like, who's your best player right now? I mean, Russell just barely came back. Would you say Dinwiddie was?
Oh, definitely Dinwiddie.
Yeah,
absolutely,
okay.
Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie's been a borderline all-star. It's amazing, but he's been a borderline all-star. He's been a great player.
Good times. Now, in talking about all-stars, we had the starters announced a few days ago, and the captains who will select where the starters go, meaning the starters are going to go on, they're going to be selected by the two captains who are LeBron James and Steph Curry, which means that the teams won't exactly be an East team and a West team. You can select guys from either side. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. I don't even know if it happened already. I think they said they were going to do that on Thursday, but either way, it's Thursday. Okay, good.
Yeah, it is Thursday. Yeah.
All right. But the reserves were announced tonight. So we'll start with the starters. The starters who will be selected by either of those two team captains are Curry and James, obviously, the captains themselves, Giannis Antetokounmpo, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis. That's interesting because both of the guys from the Pelicans are on there. That's interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, they should be. I mean, those guys are superstars. DeMar DeRozan from Toronto, Kevin Durant from the Warriors, Joel Embiid from the 76ers, James Harden from the Rockets, and Kyrie Irving from your Boston Celtics, Chris. So we will see who they select on either side. Now, quick question. Do you have any predictions as to where they may go with these, or do you care? I guess that's the next question.
First thing I'd like to say, I sort of like this because I feel like the whole All-Star thing was getting a little stale, and there is like a little bit of intrigue here. Like, wow, what if LeBron goes first and picks Kyrie? Wouldn't that be a neat story?
That would be something. That actually would be something. Yeah.
The NBA is actually not televising this, though.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's kind of crazy to me. Because I think this would be like, I would watch this. Like, if they showed Steph sitting on one side and of the TV and LeBron on the other side, and they're going back and forth, and like maybe they're explaining their picks, and LeBron goes first, and he's like, okay, I'm taking Anthony Davis, and this is why, because I've always wanted to play with this guy, and he's a good complement to my game, and I think it'd be. How compelling would that be, Dave? Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be really exciting because, you know, we can play up some of the drama between some of these guys. I mean, you know, there are some, to give you an example, like last year, for example, when Durant and Westbrook were just having a complete, they were completely on icy terms with one another. The decision of whether one would pick the other for their team in a theoretical situation where one was a team captain, that would have been incredibly interesting. Like, would they go through with it? Would they uphold their pettiness? It's a really great question. Like, I don't know. Little things like that would be very interesting. The other thing you look at is, like, would they care if they're going to have X number of guards or X number of forwards? Will they just pick all centers? Like, you know, how would they play? Would they give that a consideration or not. It's a really interesting thought, and unfortunately, we're not going to see it play out because that would be good television.
And imagine too, it comes down to the last two picks, and it's like Kevin Love and Kyle Lowry.
Oh, that's
and like
funny.
LeBron has to pick, and then he picks Kyle Lowry.
Oh, he's gonna! How about that? I tell you, he's gonna do it.
And then,
I'm telling you, he's gonna do it. If it does come down to that, it's absolutely happening. How many times has he called out Kevin Love now? Like it's been like 10. Gosh, it's kind of weird that he begs for a trade and then he gets a guy and then like in the next like 3 years, it's like, at least from my perspective, it seems like he doesn't want anything to do with him. I don't really see it on the court so much, but I mean, I'm just reading about how, oh my gosh, LeBron can't stand this guy, yada, yada, yada. And then I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on. So that would be something.
I was just going to say that trade at the time, I think, you know, people were kind of split on that because they gave up Wiggins to get Love. And especially in Cleveland, a lot of the fans were excited about having young talent to, you know, for LeBron to groom. And LeBron, I mean, not, you know, all indications that LeBron wanted Love on his team and push for that trade. But, you know, that trade worked out for them. I mean, that was absolutely the right move. And, I mean, you probably get to it. Wiggins had a great night last night. But he hasn't been all that impressive in my book. And that was a good trade for Cleveland when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, we have to be fair and denote that Kevin Love was instrumental in that championship run. I mean, he's always
absolutely
good for many points and many rebounds. Everybody says he's a terrible defender, and he is, but his production on the court is usually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, if he's a terrible defender, he fits right in with that Cleveland team.
I know.
A lot of guys like that.
It's true. It's true. It's funny. So those are the starters. Let's get to the reserves. And for the East, the reserves are Bradley Beal, Al Horford, Kevin Love. That's funny. Kyle Lowry, Victor Oladipo, Kristaps Porzingis, and John Wall, who's also not very popular right now. He would not win any elections this year. Okay, that's the East. Now, West reserves are LaMarcus Aldridge. And all the credit to him, because he was getting lots of shit last year for how soft he was. But he's having a nice season so far. So Aldridge, Jimmy Butler, who's hurt. He didn't even play in the game against the Clippers last night. Draymond Green, definitely. Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, Karl Anthony Towns, and Russell Westbrook. So there you are with the West reserves. And overall, pretty solid team. Do you think there are any snubs, any omissions, anything like that? What did you think of the reserve selections?
Snubs. No, I mean, you know, I mean, we talked about it. There's not a lot of roster spots. So, there's always guys who, you know, certainly could make it and who don't. I think this is pretty solid. The surprises for me were, one, two guys from the Wizards who are, while are a good team, are kind of, you know, they're kind of struggling right now. So sort of surprised by that. I was not surprised by DeMarcus and Anthony Davis both making it as starters. I just thought that was, I thought that made a lot of sense. And maybe Kyle Lowry. I mean, no disrespect, but I just was a little shocked by that. But I'm just going through the East and who are the other good guards. That makes a lot of sense, actually. No, I don't. I mean, we're talking about it, and I couldn't even remember how many players actually make the team. I mean, there's only 12 on a side, Dave. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, you're right.
It's pretty lean. It is hard to make an all-star team.
You know, that's a good point, because I remember being so sure that, like, Lonzo Ball would make it because he's having a nice year, even as a rookie, and I thought, oh, Kuzma will make the reserves. But 12 guys in a team with 30 teams, and there are 12 guys on each of the 30 teams. Like, you have to be really good to make the NBA All-Star game, either really good or really popular. And I don't think you're going to get two rookies to reach that echelon so early. So I kind of dialed it back a bit. I'm like, yeah, no, I guess at this point, the Lakers really wouldn't have anybody on the All-Star team. You have one All-Star from the Celtics, at least one. I think that's it, right? I think, was there anybody else?
No, there's two, because you got Allen.
Horford, too, right? Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, so Horford made it as well.
I was a little surprised Al made it, to be honest with you. I was sure that Kyrie would, of course, but even that kind of surprised me.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, he's having a nice year, though. I mean, I'll give him a lot of credit for that. So, not too bad. Victor Oladipo, interesting. You know, we were talking about Oladipo because the Pacers were playing the Lakers the other night, and the Lakers just made a concerted effort to just guard him, to, like, you know, double him and just keep him from scoring. And once he was shut down, that was it for the Pacers offense. So it's a guy that obviously needs the ball a lot to function. But I do think that he has a really good motor, meaning like he has a good heart and desire to win the game. But I gotta admit, I mean, look, he might be that volume shooter. I mean, I guess kind of weird to go off on this now, but I think he's deserving, right? I mean, Oladipo's had a very good start to his year.
Oh yeah, Dave. He's having a better year than Westbrook, if you believe the stats. I mean, he's been sensational, and that was a trade at the time that I criticized, but I think Indiana won that.
I think he did.
Especially when you consider that Paul George is a rental. I think they flat out won that, and I'm happy for him. You know, he's kind of moved around. He was with Orlando early in his career, and then Oklahoma City for I believe it was just that 1 year, and then was traded. So happy for him. And he's back home too. He played at Indiana, so he's kind of home for him. So. Absolutely, 100% think I was deserving. I was just looking at these teams and see who is on the team with the worst record, and it is Porzingis. And wow. I guess, you know, there's no way to keep him off, but if I'm not mistaken, it's the only team with a losing record that has a player on the All-Star team.
Oh, that's interesting. That is interesting. I also think that it's interesting that Paul George didn't make it at all, but maybe that's not that surprising, because I know he was...
That is interesting. I'm just trying to find the standings. Hold on a second. Because the Knicks are, here it is. Knicks are 21-26.
Right.
The thing about George is just the only thing I think you could keep him out of it, because his real plus minus is actually really high. I think he's ranked second in the league in RPM. But the one thing, I think the thing that hurt Paul was just that he missed so much time.
Yeah, no, you know, I think that's
he was
it.
Out for us. Yeah,
a lot of injury time. That's a good point. Definitely a good point. You have to play, like, you know, that's going to hold you back. I mean, that's also why I think Kyrie Irving can't win the scoring title, because he was missing a bunch of games and he's just not going to be able to maintain that kind of average over the rest of the year. Like, he's going to have to average like 45 points the rest of the year to win a scoring title, even though he had a hot start to start. So you're right. I guess that'll always cut into it. So good stuff. Good points. What was the other thing I was going to say? Well, we'll be in LA. The All-Star game will be here in Los Angeles. So that should be fun. Have all sorts of talent here in LA. It's kind of funny, because they always come out here anyway during the off season to train. So it's like, you may run into these players regardless, like whether they're in the All-Star game or not, but it'll be fun, so we'll see. It's going to be weird, right, not having a Laker in the All-Star game in Los Angeles? That is kind of unusual.
You tell me. Is that weird? And no Clippers either.
Yeah, no Clippers.
So no local.
That's true.
That's definitely
a little
surprising.
Yeah, and Paul and Chris Paul's not in there, but that's two things. Like, not only has he been hurt a lot of the year this year, but I don't think he's the same caliber of player he was about 8 years ago. Like, he's fallen off a little bit. Like, he's not like unstoppable like he once was, you know. He's still a very good player, but I just mean, like, he's not a slam dunk all-star like he used to be, because he's just getting old. Like, I just think, you know, the production isn't exactly the same. It's still good, but I'm just saying, like, between him getting hurt all the time And just the simple fact that he's on a team with a lot of other big stars, I don't think he's going to get the same numbers year to year anyway. So, you know, you're going to pick, well, you got to pick a guy from the Rockets. I mean, of course, you're going to pick James Harden. Like, that guy is glue. So you have to do that. So, yeah, it's definitely an, I don't, if you go back to the last time that LA had the All-Star game, I think it was roughly 15 years ago. I think you may have even had Shaq and Kobe on the team. And I'm pretty sure you had someone from the Clippers. I don't know at that point who it was. That was way before. Now, there must have been one other time that the Lakers had the, or I'm sorry, the Staples Center had the All-Star game. Because I think they had one, but it was technically the Clippers hosting the All-Star game. And it was also in LA. So there's one in the middle too. So I don't know, but yeah, it's a new era. But you know, I am not mad about it. I think that it actually would have been outrageous if there were Lakers on the All-Star team, right? You got all these guys on the team. Like, these guys are all good. Like, I'm not gonna get mad. I think they've selected this appropriately. So yeah, this is different. You know, like, it'll be, you know. Obviously, there won't be any pop from LA unless maybe someone enters the 3-point shooting contest. You know, Kuzma could make that 3-point shooting contest potentially, right?
Well, definitely, and the Lakers will have they'll have a few guys on that. You know, they play that I forget what they call it, the first and second year players, which is, in my opinion, is a pretty entertaining game because you get to see young guys on
versus sophomores,
on different teams, and so the Lakers will have probably three guys on that.
In that's that, true.
You know, Lonzo, and who's the other?
Did it go Ingram?
The other rookie?
For the third one? Ingram?
Maybe Hart. I don't know.
Or who else? Yeah. Good question. Yeah, that's interesting. They'll be interesting to watch. So I guess it won't be a complete shutout, at least. So on to other things then. Let's go to some more trade talk to round it out tonight. And we've already covered a lot of stuff. Like, we covered the Cavs stuff. Again, they have got nothing. I don't know what they're going to do. Somebody said that they might trade for Kent Bazemore. I think the Hawks will just laugh at him. Doubt that's going to happen. The Bulls had some rumblings about dealing Nikola Mirotic by the deadline. One had them dealing him to the Utah Jazz. I did not realize how big this guy was until I saw those highlights last night. But the guy is huge. So, defensive liability, yes. But offensive guru, yes. Also yes. So, I think that probably would be a fit for the Jazz because the Jazz have got it covered with the defense. They got Rudy Gobert. You got a bunch of other guys that can do pretty well defensively. So, I don't think they're worried about that. The other one, as we mentioned, is Kemba Walker. And I'm going to give it to you now for this, because this is a big head-scratcher. He's not making that much. And I'm going to pull up the salary, but he's not even the highest player on the team. It's a bit of a joke. So let me bring up the NBA trade machine so I can get all that information. But this is,
for sure.
This is a mess. I mean, why would they do this? I mean, is it just because, like, nobody wants the other guys? But I mean, you may as well try to build around this guy, and yet these guys are thinking they're so desperate just to get assets that they're going to trade the only thing they got going for them, literally, at this point. I am not seeing it either, so I'll give it to you for your takeaways with the Hornets.
Yeah, Kemba's making $12 million this year, which is, like, totally reasonable. I think what I've heard is that the thinking is that they're using Kemba to help, you know, to trade other bad contracts or other contracts that they want to get rid of, I should say. Gosh, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is making more than Kemba. That's interesting.
That's insane.
Really, Cody Zeller is making more.
That's unbelievable.
Ooh. I know.
That's outrageous.
But anyways, yeah, that was the rumor. I mean, you look at the Hornets' history, though. And it's pretty depressing. I mean, in the last, like, 10 years, I mean, you know, they've picked up some nice little role players, but most of these guys have just not panned out, and they've gotten rid of them or what. But, you know, you look at their first rounders last year, it was Malik Monk, and he's, he struggled a lot. I mean, but, you know, he's also one and done out of Kentucky, so you got to give him a chance. Malachi Richardson the year before that. Kaminsky, infamous in the 2015 draft, pick overall number 9. I mean, you know, a nice ball player, but do I think he's going to amount to anything? Not really. Noah Vonleh and Shabazz Napier. I believe, was Napier, I think they traded him in that on draft day. I can't remember. Cody Zeller, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in 2012, Kemba Walker in 2011. I mean, you have to go back a long time to get a player, A, who's stuck in the league and who's been as impactful as Kemba. You know, and they I mean, even longer than that, like last 15 years, their draft picks have been, let's just say it was, it's been awful. And the one guy they hit on is this guy. And you know, it's sad because he's came out and said, look, I'm happy in Charlotte. I want to stay here. And just recently, in fact, and then the trade talks happened. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how serious that is. It's, you know, we pointed out last week, it's hard to make trades in the NBA because for the most part, you have to make these salaries match up. So we'll see. And Kemba's only, he's only got one more year after this, also at $12 million. But, I mean, you know, the Hornets have his bird rights. I mean, this is the guy they should be spending on money on to keep around, you know. So, but the rumor is that maybe they want to get rid of Nick Batum or something like that. I don't know. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, Dave. And there's been rumors about the Knicks, too, because he is a New York guy. He's from the Bronx. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, I suspect he will not get traded. Just because, you know, while $12 million is reasonable, you got to make that money work, and it's so hard to match it up.
Yeah, I mean, let's run this down, just to recap for the audience. Ahead of Kemba Walker, you mentioned Zeller at $12.5 million for 4 years. Holy shit. Man, that is, wow. And then you got oh my gosh. You were saying, I'm sorry?
Yeah, there are escalators in that Zeller contract, too. So at the end, he's making $15.4 million.
Man.
Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Okay, so that's crazy. So Kid Gilchrist is making $13 million. He's got 3 years left on his contract. And which Williams is this? Let me dig that up. Marvin Williams.
Oh, Marvin Williams.
Yeah, I remember him from, was he from Atlanta? Yeah, I think he was on the Hawks at one point.
Yeah.
And so he's making $13 million for 3 years. You have Nick Batum. I was wondering where that guy went because he used to be in Portland. $22 million for 4 years. Oof.
Exactly.
Yikes.
That is the contract.
Chili's made some major fajita improvements.
Chicken and steak for just $10.99. On the market. So even if they did want to do that, then you're not talking about trading $12 million. You're talking about trading what, $36 million?
Oof.
Between those two? So that's tough to work. I mean, you gotta find the right fit and someone who's willing to take on that money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And that's not all, folks. You have Dwight Howard at the top at $23.5 million with 2 more years to go on this contract. So all in all, just a myriad of terrible contracts for the Hornets. They've got a long way to go.
Yeah, and like I said, you're not looking at that roster and thinking, wow, they got a lot of young players they can build around. I mean, maybe Malik Monk,
right.
you know, maybe we're just, you know, we're seeing a rookie and he's playing like a rookie and he'll come up big. But, I wouldn't be terribly optimistic about the young guys on that team.
Nah, no way. So one more to share with you. As we give you another update, I guess we have two more to share with you. The Thunder have taken the lead on the Nets.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're up by one with 5 to go in the fourth quarter. And later tonight, we have the aforementioned Celtics-Lakers. I know you're excited about that, as am I. It's going to be a very interesting test. Celtics on a 3-game losing streak. And the Lakers having one, I think it was like 4 out of 5, something like that. But they had a great win against the Knicks. And this will be interesting. This will be interesting. Lonzo Ball will not play, but everybody else should be playing, which means Ingram will be in there, MCP, as far as I know, and Nance. All those guys should be all right. So it's going to be a good game. I think Irving is going to be healthy enough to at least start, and I'm excited about it. And the Lakers had a terrible game at Boston the first time, but I think they've started to gel a little bit, so I'm interested to see whether they can put up a good game tonight. So your thoughts about this matchup as the two of us start to tune into this after we do the show?
Well, a couple things. One, as you mentioned, the Celtics have not been playing well. Lost 3 in a row. One of those games was the overtime loss to New Orleans. On Saturday, however, was it Saturday or Sunday? I can't remember. It was over the weekend, and they lost to the Magic at home, which is about as bad as it gets. And they looked pitiful in that game, just played horrible. And overall, I don't want to make excuses because they've been bad, but they've looked really out of sorts because I'm not trying to, you know, make excuses, but I got to think that the layoff and, you know, the time off around the trip to London played a big part in this too, because they just have not looked themselves. They can get in a funk where they really have trouble scoring. They're still a top defensive team in the league, but they're 20th overall in offensive rating, which is pretty poor. I'm not confident they'll win this one tonight, Dave, but we'll see. And I say that because I've seen how well the Lakers have been playing recently, and it seems like they responded when LeVar Ball called out Luke, the coach, Luke.
Luke Walton. It's really interesting. Now, some people were complaining that the Lakers were more adamant about supporting him, but they did have this back, and Luke certainly had Lonzo's back, and you can go from there. And they didn't panic, and I think that's important that they did not panic. I know media always want the Lakers to react in very specific ways. It's like, why didn't you do a press conference about it? Like, who cares? Like, you know, sometimes the right method is to lay low. Like, you don't want to make a big deal out of it. Like, the more you lend credence to that you lend credence to goober, but he's a joker. Anyway, the point is, who cares? LeVar Ball's in Lithuania. Nobody cares. Did I see that he's coaching his sons in this game, on this team all of a sudden? It's just like, this guy's an absolute nut job. I don't think anybody should be taking anything he says seriously. So, I think the Lakers are fine. Like, I don't know if they're not going to be good this year. We've already conceded that. But they are having a nice week, and it gives the team more time to learn and grow and find ways to play together. I don't know if these guys are going to get traded. A lot of rumblings that there may not even be that many trades. But I'm not buying it. I think there are going to be some blockbusters in the next week or so. We'll see. And we'll take it from there. Knicks, any comments on the Knicks? They're playing the Warriors tonight. Maybe they got guys to trade. Any shot at all of them winning this game?
No. But I'll tell you this. Brooklyn came back there on top by one with about 2 minutes left.
That's nice.
I don't see. I didn't even know that Knicks game was. Has that started already?
No, it'll start at the same time. The Knicks Warriors will start at the same time as the Laker game. So I think that's a late night game.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I give him no shot. Anyway, you were saying.
I was just going to say, I don't normally stay up for these, you know, these West Coast games, but I'm going to have to stay up tonight. So I'll probably be, I'll keep an eye on my Nick Warriors game, but I do not give them a chance. I don't even know what to say about the Knicks. I mean, well, I mean, I think they're probably better than I thought they would be, but I still, you know, they need a third piece is what it, you know, they, Porzingis is great, but they need a, I don't know. I'm not even sure what they, I thought Hardaway would, you know, be the answer, you know, be a good addition, but I don't know. I don't see any shot for them tonight. No.
All right. And one thing I did notice when they were playing LA, their defense is terrible. Like, they will just give you the basket. Like, they will let you just go to the basket. Like, they have no defense. At least they didn't in that game. So, I cannot, I think they could keep pace with the Warriors. Like, they could try to outscore them and trade baskets. But as far as actually taking the lead, I don't see it. And I also see a lot of points getting scored in the game. But time will tell. Would you be interested in a total projection? I'll give that to you. Give me a sec. I'll
sure
pop it up here.
Just to check up on that, the Knicks are ranked 18th in defensive ratings. Your comments are spot on.
Yeah, that's about what I thought. Yeah, I mean
they're not a good defensive team, and yeah, which is amazing because Porzingis is like he's a good defensive player, great shot blocker. He can, you know, he can guard smaller players. But and it looks like that point guard is really good defensively too. So maybe they got some blocks to build around there. I will not try to pronounce his name. I just can't. There's too many consonants in there. I can't. Yeah. I can't make sense of that. But I don't. I'm a little surprised that they're ranked so low. But
yeah. Well, the total expected for tonight's game is 226.5 points, meaning if you were to take the over, you would expect 227 or more points, which would amount to a final score of, let's say, 117 to 110, which seems right. Or 127 to 100, which may be more likely. But either way, there should be a lot of points scored in the game. I don't know. I mean, the Warriors are favored by 16. That does seem like too many. Like, I think that's a little too much because, you know, garbage time, something could happen. I don't know, but
Spencer Dinwiddie.
What happened?
I was just going to give a quick update. Spencer Dinwiddie just drove the lane, and the Nets bench just erupted. 7 seconds left, and the Nets have a 1-point lead.
Wow!
See what happens.
Wow!
Yeah, it was beautiful too, Dave. I mean, he just. Oh man, he just cut through that like butter. It was beautiful.
Wow! I got to see the highlights of that. Now, while you watch that, the San Antonio Spurs have finished off the Cavs 114 to 102. So we both had a call on that one. And good one for the Spurs. I mean, obviously, kind of takes the Kawhi tension storyline off the front burner for a moment. So that's good. I don't know where the Cavs go from here. Maybe LeBron will tweet something else. I don't know. But who knows? Go congratulate someone else. Go congratulate yourself again on something, LeBron. Seriously. But any update on the Thunder game? Have they?
It's still just under 8 seconds left, Thunder ball. So maybe, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the Nets can do. They're about to inbound the ball. They got Paul George throwing it in. See what the Nets come up with here. They can get a big stop. Obviously, Westbrook gets the ball, goes in. Ooh. Lays it in with about 3 seconds left, Dave.
Wow, so they got it back?
Nets have a timeout? Yeah, I'm trying to see if the Nets have a timeout. Can they bring it in at half court? Come on, yes. Yes isn't showing me anything here. I can't tell. But, no surprise, the ball went to Westbrook.
Right. Well, I mean, superstars are going to superstar, you know, that's the play. Yeah. I mean, end of the game, you give it to your best guy. That's usually how it goes in the NBA. So pretty well executed. 3 seconds. I don't know what I don't know what the timeout situation is either. Let me
look. Let's see.
Yeah.
I guess they must have called a timeout. I mean, I don't have the sound down, but I'm guessing they did. And then they'll inbound the ball at half court, which makes a difference when you have 3 seconds left. So I guess, I mean, here's the thing about the Nets. I mean, you got to give it to Dinwiddie, which is crazy. But he's got to get the ball in his hands.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were talking about him all show. I mean, it's a natural pick, so hopefully they can find him. You know, cause sometimes they try to they guard the inbound so that the ball doesn't go to their best guy, but
yeah,
find a way. I mean, that's what you do. And you don't need a three. Just get it to the hoop. You don't have to get it. Absolutely. I can't even see the game, but seriously, don't go. Just go for the basket. Don't worry about getting a three because you're down by one. Like, you can just go to the hoop right there. Get a shot. The Thunder scored 35 points in the fourth quarter. That's unbelievable. That's incredible. Wow.
So the Thunder called the timeout after the Nets were about to inbound the ball. So we'll see what happens here. Another timeout.
Yeah.
I guess they could. You could go Damari Carroll. Like he could make a clutch shot. It's probably going to go either. Well, it looks like they have Alan Crabb in there, too. Looks like they got AC. It's like Crabb, Dinwiddie, Carroll. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I'm not going to leave our audience hanging. We'll stand by.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I mean, isn't this exciting, though? This is exciting. Like, I'm very eager to see how this ends up. What a game by the Nets, though. They've really put the Thunder on the brink. I really thought they were going to win there. I mean, I don't get, maybe in the bet it's better that they actually lose, though, right? Ultimately, but still, this has been quite a game.
Absolutely. What was going on in that Cleveland game?
Spurs finished the deal. They won. Did they win by 10 or 12? Let me see. Let me check the score. But they won. It really never was in doubt, honestly, from the middle of the third quarter on. I mean, the Cavs would get close, but never did take the lead. Like, they just kept maintaining that arm's length on the Spurs kept maintaining the arm's length on Cleveland. And it really, just to repeat, it was a good win for San Antonio. Aldridge did. Yeah, so they won 114-102, so that's a 12-point win. I will get told for you in a moment. Let me just get back to here first.
That's amazing. Those games to end like 10 minutes before the next game tips off. That's kind of a rarity. Usually they kind of overlap.
Yeah, you're right. That game went pretty fast. The first game usually doesn't go before 7:30 or where you are at 10:30. That's very rare. And usually they're still halfway through the quarter at this point. Boy, that's a long time out.
Well, you know what happened was the Nets tried to inbound the ball. They couldn't get it in, and so they called a timeout.
Oh.
And here we go. All right, ball's in Dinwiddie's hands. Step back from three. Oh, off.
Wow.
And Oklahoma City wins it. I mean, that was a tough shot. First of all, he was about 2 feet behind the line. He had a hand in his face. Man, that's rough. That was in Oklahoma City, too, you know? So
that's an incredible effort.
It's weird. Yeah, there's like blue confetti coming down. Like you guys didn't win the title. You just announced
it. You'd be surprised how common that is. But I think a lot of teams do that, which I too have a problem with that. The Lakers do that after every win. They bring down confetti.
Do they really?
Did you not learn from Game 7, 1969? Like, what are you doing storing balloons and confetti in the rafters like that? You should have learned your lesson from the Don Nelson shot. I mean, come on. Jeez.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, no, that's a real bummer. I mean, you're up by like they were up by like 15. That was an incredible that they would push Oklahoma City that far and still lose, but definitely a lot of positives. I mean, I know it's silly to utilize the term moral victory, but it really was. Like, the Nets really did a great job tonight. So, actually, you know, so much so that I may even tune into the Joe and Evan show just to get Evan's thoughts on the game, because that was a good game. Never do that, but I might do that tomorrow, because, like, that was a good game.
We got Celtics-Lakers coming up in a few minutes.
All right, let's do it.
What are your thoughts on that, Dave? You said you thought you're up on Boston.
I think Boston will rebound in this game. I mean, they have to be embarrassed by what happened with the Orlando game. They were at home. They were in Boston. They lost. Yeah. They put up nothing. They were shooting blanks the whole night. I was watching some of that in the second half. And very, very stunning loss. But it will happen. I mean, sometimes, especially in a daytime game, you'll see teams that just don't have the energy. And that was the case. I mean, maybe the Celtics were absorbed with what was going on in the NFL. I don't know. I have no idea. I couldn't even tell you. Maybe they were worried about the Bruins. I have no idea. But maybe they're like, why didn't they sign JD Martinez yet? But the Red Sox. But I have no idea. It was just so weird. I mean, I couldn't really say, just from what I watched, whether Irving was really that healthy. I think he's had some time to heal since then. It's now Tuesday. That was Sunday. So I think they'll be back. They'll be fine. I don't know if they're going to win, though. The Lakers definitely have been really doing a great job mixing it up. Their defense has been... their defense has not been good. But they have been getting some great contributions across the board. Even, like, Caruso has been, believe it or not, pretty good. So you may be hearing from him tonight. Ingram's having some nice games. Clarkson, that guy has been unstoppable. He's been amazing. He's taken advantage completely of the opportunity to take in Melonzo's minutes.
He's working up his trade value is what he's doing, right, Dave?
That's true. Oh, man. If he gets traded, I hope he gets traded for two guards because the guard depth is it's just so horrendous. Corey Brewer's starting games right now because of how bad things are getting with the injury. So, yeah, I mean that part is tough, but it's remarkable that they're winning some of these games. But they have had some good matchups too. To be fair, after the Celtic game, Lakers will play Chicago, and we all know the deal with Chicago. I think anybody would give the Lakers a shot in that game on Thursday in Chicago. So this is an opportunity. I think the Lakers, if they take this tonight, could go get three wins in a row with a Chicago game. But the number one team in the East, I still give a lot of respect to your Celtics. So should be fun. I'll leave it at that. Any final thoughts before I go?
No, I think that covers it. We covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. Like, I didn't know if we'd have enough time to get all this material in tonight, but we really did. We got in trades, All-Star, Cavs, Brouhaha, everything. Like, it really was
A Jay Kidd firing.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. So, and I do think we'll go through with the show next week because I think we may have some trades by then. So I think we'll do it again next week. Let's do it. And until then.
Sounds good.
Yeah, all right. So enjoy the game. I'll catch up with you in a little bit.
You too. Talk to you later.
All right, bud. That's Chris in Georgia. That's our show. Thanks for listening. I'm not deciding on what we're going to do with tomorrow's program. We may do one. We may not do one. But we will be back next week either way. We'll revisit the NBA report. We'll have our prop bet show. All sorts of good stuff for you next week and Super Bowl week. But till then, have a good one. We'll see you next time.